إن الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار ربنا إنك تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين Inshallah, today I want to share with you a passage that is so powerful in its meaning and its continuity that when it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even he was moved to tears alayhi salatu wasalam. The narration is very beautiful. The Sahaba after the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, the Sahaba used to miss him. So they came one time to Aisha radiallahu anha, to the quarters of Aisha radiallahu anha, and from behind the hijab they asked her, tell us something that was unique about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, because they missed him. And she said, yani, كُلُّهُ كَانَ عَجَبًا. Everything about him was unique. There's nothing about him that was typical. Then she decided to share a story with them. Well, she's of course the mother of the believers and she finds this as an opportunity to teach them a lesson. So she describes one night when she was with the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was lying in bed and he turned towards her and he asked her permission if he can get up and pray two rak'ahs. To pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And now look, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the adab he has to his spouse, that he's turning to her, and he's asking her permission so he can go talk to Allah. And so she gives him permission. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful piece of etiquette between husband and wife, and even from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And just to think about that point for a second, you know, for us, you know, I call my wife my wife, I call my father, I call my brother. These are titles and relationships that we have with each other. But with the Prophet ﷺ, it's not like Aisha radiallahu anha ever says, my husband said this, or my husband did that. She never says this. She says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ﷺ. His uncle never says, you know, Ibn Akhi. He never says that. He doesn't say, my nephew said this, or my nephew used to do that. They say, Rasulullah used to do that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu never says, my uncle did this and my uncle did that. He says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So even though these are all relationships that he had, because he was a messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a unique dimension to those relationships even. And even they understood, before he's my husband, before he's my nephew, before he's my brother, before he's my best friend, he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they trained themselves to think like that. So even every time they would speak about him, they would address him as Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was part of their iman. Even in the middle of the night, husband turns towards the wife then. And she never loses sight of the fact that he's the messenger of Allah. But look, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is turning and asking for permission. This is the amount of, and you know, he is not just the amir of that house, he's the amir of humanity. He's the Sayyidah, you know, Al-Kawnain. He's the leader of all of our, you know, all humanity, all existence. He's the Amir of them. And yet, he's asking permission from the spouse. This is the honoring of the woman in Islam. just in that brief narration even. But regardless, he got up and he started praying. And as he started praying, in the middle of Salat, Jibreel alayhi salam started revealing these ayat to him. The ayat that I wanted to share with you today. And Aisha radiallahu anha notices from her bed, she notices that he started crying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until the point where he cried so much that his entire beard was soaked. And it was his beard was dripping with tears. And he went into sajda, and he went into sajda for so long that there was a puddle where he was making sajda, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until Fajr came, this was Qiyam al-Layl, this was Tahajjud prayer. Fajr came and he's still in sajda. And Bilal radiallahu anhu, of course the mu'adhin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is waiting for the Imam to come, the Prophet to come out, and to lead the prayer, time has come. So Bilal radiallahu anhu comes and knocks and asks for the Prophet to come sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even Bilal radiallahu anhu is reminded by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he finishes his prayer, he says to him, you know, how do you call me? He was so moved when Allah has revealed these ayat to me. He was so moved by that, he was having a hard time getting out of sajda. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how heavy these ayat were for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is, there's no way I or anybody else can do justice to these ayat in the duration of a 20-25 minute khutbah. That's not the intent here. But I just wanted to share some reflections with you from these beautiful ayat. These are ayat 190 to about 195 of Surah Al-Baqarah, or Surah Al-Imran rather. Allah says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. No doubt about it, in the creation of the skies and the earth. And particularly he highlights, that is to say, the conflict between night and day. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ يعني خَاصَّةً فِي اخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. In the creation of the skies and the earth, the skies and the earth were created long before you and I were around. Right? Allah says in the Quran, مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I didn't make them witness over the creation of the skies and the earth. That's an event from long ago. وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And I didn't even let them witness their own creation. What do they know about creation? You know? Allah is reminding us that creation itself, this universe coming into being, is a very ancient thing. But if you even think about how all of this could have come into place. You know, you walk into a beautiful building, you're like, man, this is incredible. This is amazing technology. You walk into a historic site, you know, castles and monuments and things like that, and you look at the art and you look at the high columns and you wonder, how did they build this stuff? Right? How much time must it have taken? What kind of genius engineers were they? You're marvel at just how amazingly they built something. Now we're living in, you know, in the United States, and we notice that there are construction projects, right? So the fences are up and you can see some bulldozers or whatever. And after a few months go by, there's a whole building up and there's an entire shopping complex up and all of this stuff. And you're like, wow, how did all of that happen so fast? You get amazed by how quickly things progress. Now think about the entire universe. The entire universe, the architecture of every mountain, of every cave, of every channel, of every river, of every creature in the ocean. You know, everything you notice around you, every human being has been engineered by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Every single one of us. Every single one of our homes, every single city. And then that's just this earth. We haven't even discovered all the species, living species that live on this earth. We haven't even discovered that yet. And then Allah adds to that the universe. He says if someone even ponders over that, and ponders over that, and then that's the journey of all creation, right? But you know what? It's been summarized into just one day. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, the conflict of night and day. Night and day happen every day. That's a daily thing. You don't have to think about ancient history. Our history is being written as quickly as a night and a day pass. And at the end of the day, all our life is just a set of days. Some ulama even went further in their poetry and they would say things like حَيَاتُكَ أَنْفَاسِ. حَيَاتُكَ, you know, like Imam Shafi'i says, دَعِي الْأَيَّامِ تَفْحَلْ مَا تَشَاءُ, right? He says, let days do what they will do. Days are going to pass, you can't do anything about it. Time will pass and there's nothing you can do about that. Other ulama said, your entire life just boils down to inhaling and exhaling. That's all it boils down to. It's just breath. That's all your life is. But regardless here, Allah brings the attention of this person who's pondering over the universe, and then he sees the entire day go by, and another day begin, and another day begin. And you know what this does to the person? This person realizes all of this architecture, all of this engineering. And I have the ability as a human being to manipulate all of it like no one else. This is the first step towards guidance, you know that? Without even revelation. Allah equipped the human being that Allah put on this earth with the ability to think deeply, To think beyond what he or she sees. To think beyond what we see. And this quest to find the unseen is not just limited to Muslims. Human beings have a quest to discover what they cannot see. Are there not entire scientific endeavors and scientific theories and great intellectuals engrossed in studying how did the species of, living species begin? How did life begin on this planet? How did the universe begin? Is this just something Muslims want to explore? No. The greatest minds of today are even exploring the same question. Allah Himself says in the Quran, فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقِ. Take a look yourself how creation began. Because that's something human beings are motivated to do, to look behind the secrets of the universe. What is going on in this creation? Why are we here? This is some of the oldest questions in philosophy. And Allah Azza wa Jalla in this ayah sums it all up. People are pondering over the world around them. They're trying to figure it out. You know, we start this journey as a small child when a child grabs like a spoon and he drops it down and he says, hey, that fell. Why did that happen? And you pick it up and he drops it back down. Because he's actually conducting experiments, right? He's learning. The child is learning. And you're actually his test subject. Right? Let me see if he does it again. Picks it up and puts it on the table again. Let me try that again. We're experimental. We explore. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ. There are multiple miraculous signs just in pondering over how creation began. That is the first exploration that will lead you to Allah. That will lead you to say there has to be an ilah. There has to be an ilah. The ayatin, but for what kind of people? And this is the important part. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. There are going to be miraculous signs for people who think about the universe, who think about the world around them, who think about the grass coming out of the ground, who think about this stuff. But what kind of people will actually think about this stuff? What kind of people will actually benefit and draw lessons from it? And think, go, take steps one by one by one. Allah says, لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. For people that possess sound intellect. And lub, they say in Arabic, is the essence of something. It's actually a word that even came into Urdu and Farsi later on. Baat ka lubbe lubab kya hai? We say in Urdu. What's the essence of it? What's the essence of what you're trying to say? Bil Arabiya ila al-lub aslu shay. Aslu shay. It's the essence of something. Right? Imam Raghib al-Isfahani had a beautiful definition, rahmahullah, in his Mufradat al-Quran for lub. He said, aqlun salih, khalisun min ash-shawa'ib. May laysa lahu 'ayb. You know, a pure mind that doesn't get distracted. That's not filled with vanities. It's not filled with useless information. And from just the word lub, we understand all human beings have the capability of engaging in deep thinking. Human beings are not stupid. They choose to become that way. We are given the power to think in a deep way, all of us. None of us are shallow. We're actually equipped with that ability. That's the word lub itself. For people who engage in deep thought. But the definition, the linguistic definition of this word gives us a hint. It gives us a hint that human beings can engage themselves in thinking about something deep, or they can choose not to be people of lub, and they can engage to think about things that aren't deep, that are shallow. So you can have a child, 14, 15 year old teenager, extremely intelligent. If you ask them to memorize a page of the Quran, they'll do it in 15 minutes, you'll take 2 days. They'll do it in 15 minutes, their mind is sharp. But if you sit and talk to them, their head is filled with information about cheat codes, and the next video game release, and the update patch, and how to unlock the iPhone, or, that's what they're having. Information, there's a lot of information in there. It's a sign of their intelligence. But you know what? A lot of times that information boils down to useless, shallow information. It's not something that leads you to become a deep thinker. All it leads you, all that knowledge, and the goal of it all, so I can entertain myself more, or I can manipulate a gadget better. That's a really shallow goal to have to exhaust so much intellect into, right? But this is what humanity is becoming slowly. We're choosing to exhaust our intellect in things that don't matter much. And I'm not saying studying technology is a bad thing, or playing video games is necessarily an evil. But I'm saying we're so engrossed in this stuff now that it is making us incapable of actually thinking about meaningful things. To actually think about deeper things. To actually sit back and look at the sky and reflect. To sit under a tree and think how beautiful this creation is. Just to take it all in. We don't have time for that anymore. You know? We're becoming very very artificial in our thinking. Disconnected from nature. And in this ayah, there's actually a call to be connected with nature. فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ.
What's a kid that's sitting there playing an RPG for 8 hours, what's he going to know about the sun went up and the sun went down? What's he going to know? Because it doesn't matter what, you know, what time is it already? Oh my God, you know. You won't know. And this is the same with adults. We're so immersed in our screens that we're not actually immersed in this beautiful creation of Allah. We're so amazed by the next gadget that will delude us and entertain us, rather than the incredible things around us that Allah has made. You know? And this being disconnected from nature has spiritual consequences. Not just being disconnected from the Qur'an, not just being disconnected from the masjid or from the halaqat and from reminder, those have spiritual consequences too. Being disconnected from the creation of Allah, from nature, from exploring the world, from, you know, sitting under a tree, from going to a river, these things, they also have a spiritual effect on you. You stop appreciating the architectural beauty of what Allah makes. Because you're so surrounded always by things that human beings have made, that we've made, you know? So he says, فَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. You know the setting of the end of the day? Allah says the conflict of night and day. What is the conflict of night and day most obvious? Early morning and in the afternoon, late afternoon, at the evening time. Because that's when the war between the night and the day takes shape, right? The sun is going down, the dark is taking over. Or the sun is rising and the darkness is being defeated. And those particularly are times of reflection. It's no surprise in the Qur'an that every part of the morning Allah swears by it. وَالْفَجْرِ وَالصُّبْحِ وَالضُّحَى. You know, He swears by every part of the morning. And He swears by every part of the evening, starting with الشَّفَقْ. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقْ وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. He swears by the time when the sun starts getting orange, and the day starts setting in. Something you should be paying attention to so much, Allah swears by it. He swears by it. There are so many ways to find guidance and appreciation for Allah in creation already, but that is only for those who have a clean mind, those who have a proper mind that will think about these things, people that will be connected with the creation of Allah. Then Allah says, these people, because they think so much, because they're in constant awe of this creation, they become in awe of the one who made them. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. They are constantly remembering Allah, sitting, standing, then Allah says sitting, then He says on their sides, meaning lying down, on their sides. Now the literal translation says standing, sitting, and on the sides. But what does that represent? Standing, يعني للحركة. إذا قمنا صباحا ذهبنا إلى العمل وإلى الجامعة. You know, when we go to the university, when we go to work, we get up, we rise. When you're busy, this person is remembering Allah. When he finally gets some rest and he sits, takes a seat back, he's remembering Allah. When the day is finally over, he's, you know, finally got to his bed, the entire day is over, he lies down and takes a deep breath, first thought is in his mind, he remembers Allah. Someone gave him this bed. He looks out the window, he sees his backyard and his tree, and he remembers Allah, the creation again. He looks at the moon outside and he remembers Allah. Everything becomes a reminder of Allah for this person. Doesn't matter how busy he is. And that's the point of that phrase. These are people who can remember Allah, doesn't matter how busy they are, قِيَامًا وَقُرُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. What position is a human being going to be in other than when you're in outer space and floating? Either you're going to be standing, or you're going to be sitting, or you're going to be lying down. Which means in every situation, these people find a way to remember Allah. And Allah has not even mentioned, this is the thing to think about, folks. Allah has not even mentioned yet people that are Muslims. He's not talking about people that are Muslims yet. He's just talking about people that Allah created on their fitrah, who think about nature, and as a result, they just can't stop thinking about God. And what is, if all of this creation is so magnificent, the one who made this couldn't possibly have made this without a purpose. You know, I couldn't have been made without a purpose, therefore. And so it moves them to say the following. You know, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Our Master, You didn't create this without a purpose. This was not created in vain. This was not created as a toy, as something to play with. I've met, you know, non-Muslims, philosophy students, things like that, who their concept of God is so twisted, like God is playing a game with us. He's just toying around with us, He just creates wars and diseases and messing around, like a puppeteer, you know, playing with puppets. Someone who really thinks about creation, they come to a very different conclusion. They come to a conclusion, not even, Ya Ayyuhal Khaliq, not even, Oh Creator, you didn't create this without purpose. They say, our Master, You didn't create this without purpose. A person using their intellect alone will reach the conclusion there's a Master. and I'm a slave. And that master I can start communicating with already. I can already start talking to him. Even if I can't see him, I can talk to him. I can turn to him. There are so many friends I have that when they became Muslim, even before they became Muslim, they'll tell me that they used to talk to Allah. God, I need guidance. I just need you to show me. I'm trying to find you. I know I can't see you, but you need to show me the way. SubhanAllah. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You didn't create this without a purpose. All of this around me is not this. There's a reason you made these things. Subhanak, you are far above the allegation that you would make something without a purpose. You know what that means, Subhanak? That means that nothing is made without a purpose. Absolutely, I have not been made without a purpose either. I have a reason for existing. And every day that goes by and I don't know my purpose, I get even sadder and sadder. I need to know what my purpose is. Why am I on this earth? مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The depth, and this is not something I'm able to explain today, inshaAllah ta'ala, but I just want to share with you. سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Then save us from the punishment of the fire. This person already realizes that there's some kind of afterlife. I can't just do whatever I do in this world and get away with it. There's got to be consequences. This kind of a creator would not have, if he didn't make this without a purpose, that means everything will have to be accounted for. Save us from the punishment. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ وَمَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارٍ. Very interesting that this person makes a dua that whoever you enter into the fire, you've humiliated them. Not فَقَدْ عَذَّبْتَهُ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ. You haven't tortured him, you've humiliated him. So the person of real thought realizes, they realize something. We are a creature of dignity. Human beings are a creature of takreem, of ihtiram, of karama. We are that kind of creature. And the most valuable thing we have is our dignity. And our dignity is directly tied to our sense of purpose. When human beings lose their purpose, they lose their dignity. When they go before Allah and they're about to be thrown into the hellfire, this person says the worst thing about that is it's humiliating. It's humiliating. We have to be people of dignity. Well, فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ وَمَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارٍ. And after all of this, then they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. Our master, we heard one person calling. You know, a caller, munadiyan, some caller we heard, yunadi lil iman. He was calling to iman. He was calling us to truly believe. He was fulfilling all the voids. I had some concept of God, he completed it. I had some concept of the afterlife, he completed it. I had some concept that God cares about me, he showed me how he cares about me. I had some concept that this is a good thing and that's a bad thing. He completed that guidance for me. He showed me this is exactly what's good and this is exactly what's bad. He called me to believe in all of what Allah expects from me. That's a caller. Now who's that caller? It's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's called a caller in this ayah. The question arises, and this is the last question I leave you with. You know, the Sahaba, when they said we heard the call of a caller, سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا, we heard a caller. Obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in their company. فَسَمِعُونَهُ, they heard him. They heard him, because he was right there. But حتى اليوم, until today, ما زلنا نقرأ هذه الآيات, we still recite these ayat. And we still say, إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. We have heard the call of a caller calling to Iman. Every time the Qur'an is recited, it is actually still attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the call that he made is echoing through my mouth and your mouth. Every time. Every time somebody says the adhan, it is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being echoed. Every time someone recites the Fatiha, munadiyan yunadi lil iman, he is chained now to the one who taught him, to the one who taught him, to the one who taught him, to Rasulullah himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa hakadha huwa munadin lana. And that's how he's calling us too, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His words are still with us. And his words remind us that we are therefore directly tied to him. Imagine you made a noise, and the echo carried over centuries and millennia. That's what's happening. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the honor of reciting the Qur'an, and through us that Qur'an is being echoed. That message is being echoed. And so today we still say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. That you should have faith in your master. فَآمَنَّا. Then we've come to believe. We accept, Ya Rabb.
رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا.
Master, forgive for us, cover for us the humiliating mistakes we've made.
وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا.
And bury away from us our evil deeds. Look at the transition. ذُنُوب are small sins that you're embarrassed by. He says cover them. He teaches us to say what? Cover them. Now you can cover something with like a sheet. You could. You could cover something with a barrier in front of it. But if I take a pile of dirt over here and I put a sheet over it, can you still know that there's something underneath? You will think something's here. Obviously something's being covered. But if I bury it, if I take the same sins and I bury them, can you even know something was there to begin with? No. He says, for our small sins, cover them.
فَغْفِرْنَا غَفَرْ يَعْنِي سَتَرَ غَفَرْ بِمَعْنَا سَتَرَ.
Cover our mistakes. But when it comes to big sins, سَيِّئَاتِ, it's not enough that you cover them. Where are you going to find a curtain that big? Bury them for us.
كَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَعَنَّا يَعْنِي بَعِيدًا عَنَّا.
Bury them far away from us, because the stench of those sins might be bad enough for us. So don't just bury them. Bury them away from us, our evil, evil deeds.
وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ.
And if you can do that for us, now we're ready to die. Take us among the company of good people. When you give us death, consider us among the righteous. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Take us among the righteous. Take us in the company of the righteous. This has many meanings. One is when you die, you and I ask Allah that when He takes us, we are counted as abrar, as righteous people. The other meaning is, Ya Allah, don't let me die and I am in the company of bad people. When death comes to me, I should be in the company of good people. I shouldn't be at a club. I shouldn't be at a party. I shouldn't be at, you know, around friends that are like doing haram things, and then death comes to me on the way to the party.
تَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ.
I should be among them.
وَأَنَا مَعَهُمْ يَعْنِي أَيْضًا.
وَأَنَا مَعَهُمْ. I'm with them and you take me. That's because I want this. I want good company because they'll keep reminding me what my purpose is. And they'll keep me from being humiliated in this world and then in the next. May Allah Azza wa Jalla help us appreciate the beauty and the wisdom of the ayat of the Qur'an. And may Allah give us the love for this Qur'an that is rightfully owed to it from every single Muslim. May Allah make the learning of the Qur'an easy for every single Muslim. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla help us get closer and closer to this book along with our families as the days go by. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayat wa dhikr al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله، اتقوا الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة، إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.